Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are unpacking something that feels a lot like the GPT 3.5 moment for video.
Oh, absolutely.
You remember that specific tipping point with Textray when chatbots went from being these weird, broken novelties to, you know, something that fundamentally changed how we work?
It feels exactly like that. Yeah. We're witnessing this shift from simple video generation, which was, let's be honest, just making a pretty moving picture to actual world simulation.
And we're focusing on one specific part of that today, the Sora 2 characters system,
which officially dropped back on October 29, 2025.
And the reason we're pulling this specific stack of research is because this update claims to have solved what everyone in the industry calls the holy grail of AI video.
Consistency.
Consistency. And honestly, if you haven't tried to make a movie with AI tools before this, you might not appreciate just how painful the old way was.
Oh, it was brutal. You generate a character and shot one, a detective in a trench coat. Looks great.
Perfect. Then you generate shot two, a side angle, and suddenly he's got a different nose, his hair is parted on the other side, and the trench coat is now a denim jacket.
We call that identity drift.
Right.
And for storytelling, it is an absolute deal breaker.
You can't have your hero changing faces every time the camera moves. It breaks the immersion completely.
The audience stops watching the story and just starts watching the glitch.
Exactly. So our mission for this deep dive is to figure out if they actually fixed it. We're going to look at how Sora 2 gets to what they claim is 95% visual consistency.
And we'll get into the physics, the actual feel of this simulation.
And then we'll see how it stacks up against the competition right now, February 2026. So Runway, Kling, VEO.
And we're also going to look at a live implementation, YourRender.ai, which is fascinating. It shows how developers are already building real filmmaking tools on top of this engine.
Okay, let's start with the character system itself, because historically the workflow was pretty standard. I'd upload a photo, right? The classic reference image drill method.
Right. You'd give the AI a static image.
Yeah.
And it would just have to guess.
Yeah.
It has to hallucinate what that person looks like from the side or when they're laughing.
And that method topped out at about, 70 to 80% consistency?
At best, yeah.
Which sounds high, but in a movie, 80% means one in every five frames looks wrong.
Exactly. That 20% error rate is what causes that dreamlike sort of morphing quality we're all used to, that uncanny valley shimmer where a face seems to boil slightly.
So how does Sora 2 fix this? I'm assuming it's not just, you know, uploading a better photo.
No, and this is the big leap. Sora 2 completely flips the workflow. To create a character, it doesn't want a photo. It needs you to record a video.
A video.
Specifically a 1 to 4 second clip of your face and your voice.
So it's extracting data from motion, not just flat pixels.
Precisely. It performs what they call a visual profile extraction. Yeah. Think of it less like a camera taking a picture and more like a 3D scanner mapping a topology.
Okay, so it's mapping facial geometry, skin texture.
How your hair moves when you turn your head, your proportions in 3D space. It takes all of that data and compiles it into a unique, reusable character ID.
So it's not referencing a JPEG anymore. It's building a localized model of me.
It's building a digital puppet of you. And the data shows this bumps the precision up to 95% for human faces and over 90% for clothing and costumes.
And once that ID is there, you just reference it in the prompt.
Yeah, use an at handle syntax, just like tagging someone on social media.
Okay, I have to be the skeptic for a second. 95%. That sounds impressive, but there's still a 5% margin for error. Does that mean if I make a feature film, 5% of the time my lead actor is going to look like his cousin?
It's a fair question, and the answer is sort of.
Yeah.
That 5% error rate usually pops up at really extreme angles, like a harsh top-down view or during very rapid movement.
Where motion blur might confuse the renderer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But compared to the 20 or 30% error rate we had before, it's the difference between unusable and fixable in post-production.
That makes sense. It changes the whole workflow from roll the dice and pray to direct and refine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you use the phrase uploading yourself. That sounds a little dystopian, doesn't it? Like the start of a Black Mirror episode where I get trapped on a thumb drive.
It is a little sci-fi. But OpenAI seems to be very aware of that identity theft fear.
Yeah.
They've actually built in some very granular permissions.
Like what?
You can set your character's availability to only me, people I approve, mutuals, or just everyone.
And I saw there's a strict mode as well. What's that do?
Yes. Strict mode is the safety ray. It's designed to protect against unauthorized modifications. So it prevents people from taking your likeness and making it do things you didn't agree to.
So if I upload myself, I can stop someone from casting me as the villain in their slasher film?
Essentially, yes. It turns your likeness into a permission-based digital asset.
Okay, let's talk about the world this digital asset lives in, because the other big claim with Sora 2 is that we are not just animating pixels anymore. We're simulating physics.
This is where it gets really interesting for the tech geeks. Previous video models were diffusion models. They were predicting what the next pixel should be based on visual patterns. Sora 2 is different.
How so?
It's running a world simulation. It actually understands things like gravity, buoyancy, rigidity, and friction.
The example that really caught my eye in the research notes was the basketball.
It's a classic test case. In the old models, if you prompted a basketball player missing a shot, the AI didn't really know what to do with the ball. Sometimes it would just teleport into the hoop.
Because it was trained on footage of people scoring.
It was biased towards success, toward the most common visual pattern. But in Sora 2, if the player misses, the ball rebounds off the backboard.
And it bounces correctly.
It obeys the physics of a rubber ball hitting a glass backboard and a metal rim. It simulates that interaction.
That is wild.
There's another fun example in the prompt logs. A triple axel while a cat holds on for dear life.
No, wait.
To render that, the system has to understand the friction of the skate, the centrifugal force, and how the weight of the cat is affecting the skater's balance.
And it can actually create a coherent video of that.
Mostly. I mean, it's not perfect, but the fact that it's even attempting the physics calculation instead of just guessing the pixels is a massive architectural shift.
And it's doing this while keeping audio in sync. Because that's the other headline feature, native audio.
Native synchronized audio is standard now. And again, this isn't just tacking on a sound effect file after the fact. It's simulating the audio.
Okay, explain that. What's the difference?
Well, let's look at the dragon demo. The prompt was something like a dragon slicing past serrated ice spires.
Right.
In a normal editor, you just drag in a wind whoosh sound effect. But Sora 2 generates the sound based on the physics of the scene. You hear the wing membrane thunder, specifically on the downstroke, because that's when the air pressure is highest.
Wow.
You hear the specific crystalline ice tick of the glacier cracking. It knows that ice sounds different than rock.
So it's connecting the material properties to the acoustic properties.
Exactly. That level of sensory detail just creates a much deeper sense of presence. It stops feeling like a video and starts feeling like a window.
But, and there's always a but, we have to do a reality check here. We're painting a very rosy picture. What breaks the illusion? What are the cracks in the matrix?
Oh, the cracks are definitely still there. Complex scenes can still trip it up. We still see extra limbs appearing when there's too much happening.
Like a crowd scene where someone suddenly has three arms?
Yep. And physics failures can happen if there are multiple complex interactions going on at once. It's like the system runs out of compute to calculate everything.
I see.
And there's also something called visual flickering. These persistent shimmer artifacts, especially on textures like water or leaves, that can be really distracting.
But there was one type of failure mentioned in the OpenAI research notes that I found just fascinating. They called it mistakes of the agent.
Ah, yes. This is my favorite part of the research paper. It's a philosophical rabbit hole.
Let's jump in. What does that mean?
So normally when an AI video glitches, you see the render break, right? Pixels tear, a face melts. It's a rendering error.
Okay.
But the researchers noticed that sometimes Sora 2 characters would do something like trip over a curb or drop a cup they were trying to pick up.
And the render itself was perfect.
The render was flawless. The physics were correct. The character made a mistake.
Wait. So the AI isn't glitching. It's simulating a clumsy person.
Exactly. It implies the AI is modeling an internal agent that is trying to obey the laws of this simulated world, but sometimes fails, just like humans do.
So if you ask an actor to run down a hallway, they might slip. Sora 2 is simulating that possibility.
Precisely.
That is actually kind of spooky. It really begs the question, are we watching a simulation or are we watching a digital performance?
If the AI tries to catch the ball and misses, is that an error or is that acting? That blurring of the line between generating pixels and directing an agent is where things get truly provocative.
I feel like we could do an entire episode just on the philosophy of clumsy AI. But we need to look at the market. Technology doesn't exist in a vacuum.
Okay.
It is February 2026. Who's standing in the ring with Sora 2?
It's a crowded ring, but the tiers are becoming very clear. If we look at the snapshot for this month, You have Sora 2 sitting right at the top with that 95% consistency and a 25-second max duration.
And 25 seconds is a lifetime in AI video. Most of the old stuff was, what, 3 or 4 seconds?
A lifetime.
Yeah.
But let's look at the competitors, because they aren't all dead.
Mm-hmm.
You have Runway Gen 4.5. Now, Runway has always been the artist's tool.
Right.
Their consistency is excellent, but it still relies on image references. And the big downside, it's capped at 4 seconds.
So it's beautiful, but short.
And silent. The audio is all post-production.
Yeah.
But if you're an art director who wants a very specific, dreamy aesthetic, Runway often still looks better artistically.
Even if it's less realistic than Sora. Okay, what about Kling and VEO?
Kling 3.0 is the workhorse. Very good consistency, 15-second duration. It's a solid contender, usually a bit cheaper or faster. VEO 3.1 is similar, excellent consistency, but it caps out at 8 seconds.
And Pika. I feel like I haven't heard as much about Pika lately.
Pika's having a tough time.
Yeah.
In the comparison testing, Pika 2.2 scored a 1.4 out of 10 against these other models.
Ouch. 1.4. That is brutal.
They're really struggling to keep up with the fidelity and the physics simulation the big players are pushing. That gap between generative video and world simulation is widening, and Pika's on the wrong side of it right now.
Okay, so the quality on Sora 2 is clearly leading the pack. But usually when you have a tool that's this far ahead, there's a big price tag attached. Is this something only Hollywood studios can afford?
If you go through the front door through ChatGPT, it's accessible but pricey. You're looking at ChatGPT Plus for about $20 a month, which gets you maybe 15-second videos.
Okay.
Or there's the new pro tier at $200 a month.
$200 a month is steep for a lobbyist who just wants to make memes.
It is. That gets you the full 25-second videos and an unlimited relaxed mode. But it's a heavy hit to the wallet. However,
yeah.
And here is the secret that I think most people are missing.
I love a good loophole.
There is a massive arbitrage opportunity here for developers or power users.
Mm-hmm.
If you go directly to the OpenAI API, you're paying about 10 cents per second of video generation.
Okay, 10 cents.
But if you go through an aggregator or a partner API like Key, their pricing is listed at 0.015 per second.
Wait, hold on. That's not a rounding error. That's like 15% of the cost.
It's a savings of over 60%.
How is that even possible? Are they subsidizing it?
It's likely bulk volume deals and enterprise tiering that they're passing down. But for a developer building a tool, that's the difference between a viable business and bankruptcy.
And we're seeing this play out right now.
We are. With platforms like YourRender.ai.
Let's pivot to that, because YourRender.ai is our case study. This is a platform that's actually built on top of Sora, too, using that back end, right?
Exactly. It's a live example of how you turn a raw API into a product. They've integrated the Sora 2 characters back end fully, but they've added a layer of utility that OpenAI just doesn't give you out of the box.
I saw a note about CRUD in their feature list. Now, I know that's not them calling the software crude.
No. C-R-U-D. It stands for Create, Read, Update, Delete.
Okay, break that down for the non-coders. Why do I care about CRUD?
In developer terms, it means the character isn't just a temporary ghost in the machine. In the basic API, especially the Kai one, there's a big limitation. It only stores your generated character data for 14 days.
So if I'm making a web series and I take a 2-week break, I come back and my lead actor has been deleted.
Sorry, the actor has been purged. Exactly. That's a disaster for any long-term project.
So what did your render do?
They set up a Supabase table. Just think of it as a permanent database, to handle long-term storage. They act as the long-term memory for the system.
So they effectively saved the cast.
They made the cast into persistent assets. And they didn't stop there. They bridged the gap to actual filmmaking by exposing camera control.
This is what I found really cool, because usually prompting camera moves is a nightmare. You type pan left, and the AI just slides the image sideways.
Right. You render expose specific cinematic movements, pan, tilt, zoom, dolly, orbit, and crane.
So I can actually say orbit around my character ID while they walk through the city.
Exactly. And because they're using that much cheaper API pricing we talked about, they can charge a markup about a 3x margin using a credit system, and it's still affordable for the end user.
So they buy the compute for pennies, add the camera tools and the permanent storage, and sell the whole package for a dollar.
And everyone wins. The user gets a tool that actually feels like directing, and the developer makes a margin.
It turns the lucky dip of generation into a predictable filmmaking tool.
That's the key word, isn't it? Predictable. We've moved from, I hope this looks good, to, I am directing this scene.
That's the transition right there.
We are moving from the novelty phase to the utility phase. The tools are stopping being toys and starting to be cameras.
Now, pulling this all together, we have Sora 2 delivering 95% consistency by extracting identity from video, not just photos.
We have physics that mostly work, except, you know, when the character trips over their own feet.
And we have audio that crunches and booms based on material simulation.
And we have a competitive landscape where 25 seconds is the new benchmark.
Yeah.
And this whole ecosystem of tools like your render springing up to solve the boring but critical problems like storage and pricing.
It really feels like the barrier to entry has just been smashed. If you have a phone to record a 4-second video of yourself and $20, you can basically cast yourself in a blockbuster.
You can. But I would add one note of caution, or maybe just observation.
Go for it.
As we close that uncanny valley, as the physics get better and the audio gets perfect, the line between reality and simulation just dissolves. Mm-hmm. When you watch a video of yourself doing a backflip that you never actually did, hearing the wind that never blew, it does something to your perception of truth.
It's the ultimate gaslight.
In a way. But yeah. It's also the ultimate creative freedom. It's just, we need to be aware of which one we're engaging with.
And that brings us right back to that thought about the internal agent.
Yeah.
If the AI is trying to perform and we're the ones directing it, maybe we aren't just making files anymore. Maybe we're the first generation of directors for digital actors.
I think that's exactly what we are. And the auditions have just opened.
Well, on that slightly mind-bending note, we're going to wrap up this deep dive. If you have access, go record your 4-second video. See what it's like to upload yourself into the matrix.
But maybe keep an eye on that uncanny valley. It's getting shallower, but the drop is still there.
And remember, with great rendering power comes great responsibility. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.
Goodbye.